hurt us so bad.
You know, the words that my parents spoke over me, that God says about me, that I am valuable and loved and worthy, he says those things about you too. And so I would encourage you just to reach out today, call in and talk to someone, pray with someone, and get resources, because you are stronger than your circumstances and you are supported.
Hear more from Claire today at FamilyMinute.org.
When a leader in the workplace oversteps boundaries and violates policy, it takes tremendous backbone to expose the truth. The risk of blowing the whistle could mean losing your reputation and certainly your job. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll tells the story of a woman who risked her life by going before the king to tell him the unfiltered truth. Whether in the workplace or confronting a cherished family member, Esther provides a model of bravery for any of us who face the challenge of doing what's right. Chuck titled today's message, Standing Alone.
It was the calling of Christ that brought him to this earth. Though he came as a baby in a manger, though he grew up in the obscure village of Nazareth, and though he was just another carpenter in that village, he later took the scepter of God's calling and stepped into a role of ministry for 3+ years, during which time he showed himself to be the Son of God, God in flesh, the only one qualified to bear the sins of the world. It is your sin that separates you from the one who made you. The only way to find relief and forgiveness is to come to Christ, who paid it all, that you and I might know what it is to have eternal life. As I lead us in prayer, it may be the perfect moment for you who have never trusted in Christ to turn to him now. May we bow. Make this day very significant, we pray, our Father, as you speak through print from a page out of an ancient book that most have never read, in the midst of a story that most do not know. Show us the relevance of your word and reveal to us the deep message that would empower us to stand strong, to stand tall, and even to stand alone in the days ahead. We don't know what a day will bring, but from the signs of the past and the present, we are not walking with you. We do not fear our God as a nation. We are not led by those who call us to fall on our knees before the one and only Savior and Lord. Therefore, our times, while in your hands, bear with them the responsibility of your people. May we not shudder or quake or run from the responsibility. Just as the one who paid it all on our behalf carried out the mission, may we be willing to do the same, whatever that mission may be, in whatever context. In the name of Jesus, everyone say, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message called Standing Alone.
Unlike Babylon, Persia became a comfort to the Jews. They were not mistreated among the Persians and the Persian leaders. That's the setting of Esther. Through a series of events that became ultimately what we would call today a beauty contest, she's entered as one who might qualify because the king was looking for a beautiful woman to be the queen. And wouldn't you know it, he chose Esther. She, being a Jew, becomes ultimately the queen of a Gentile king and of a nation filled with Gentiles and a number of Jews. Esther doesn't even know it when a Hitler-like individual named Haman comes on the scene and decides it's time to get rid of these people who don't fall in line with the rest of us. You read of him in Esther chapter 3. Just a brief snatch here, verse 8. Haman approached King Xerxes and said, "There is a certain race of people scattered through all the province of your empire who keep themselves separate from everyone else. Their laws are different from those of any other people. They refuse to obey the laws of the king, so it is not in the king's interest to let them live." Listen to these words. "If it please the king, issue a decree that they may be destroyed." Of all things, the king agreed, verse 10, and confirmed the decision. Verse 12, "So on April 17, the king's secretaries were summoned, and a decree was written, exactly as Haman dictated. Verse 13, "Dispatches were sent by swift messengers into all the provinces of the empire, giving the order that all Jews, young and old, including women and children, must be killed, slaughtered, and annihilated on a single day. This was scheduled to happen on the 7th of March of the next year. The property of the Jews would be given to those who killed them." Esther knows nothing of this. She knows nothing of it until a friend says to her, "Do you realize that your cousin is mourning out at the gate in front of the palace?" We read of that in chapter 4. "When Mordecai learned about all that had been done, he tore his clothes and put on burlap and ashes." That's what ancient people did to reveal total bankruptcy, abject poverty. In other words, "I've reached the end. Life is down to sackcloth and ashes." Esther wants to know why her cousin is weeping and wailing. So she sends a messenger and asks, "What's going on? Why is that happening?" Verse 4, "When Queen Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. So she sent clothing to him to replace the burlap. She wanted him to change clothes so that in better clothing he could come into the palace and perhaps visit with her. He refuses. He will not change those clothes." And Esther sent one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed as her attendant, ordered him to go to Mordecai, find out what was troubling him, why he was in mourning. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the square in front of the palace gate. "What's wrong? What's the matter? What's going on?" Verse 7, Mordecai told him the whole story, including even the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Now notice, he doesn't stop there. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree issued in Susa, called for the death of all the Jews. He asked Hathach to show it to Esther and explain the situation. He also asked Hathach to direct her to go to the king, to beg for mercy, to plead for her people. Hathach returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Now she's left with a dilemma. What you can appreciate is life as it existed at that time. You didn't simply walk into the king's presence, even though you were the queen. And if the king hasn't invited you and you barge in, it could mean your death. She knows the rules. Mordecai ruminates and decides it's time to press the issue further. So he sent this reply to Esther. This is one of the great statements found in all the scriptures. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. In the days of Haman and Xerxes, you need to know they will kill us. And they'll find that you're Jewish, and you will die. Now, I love the fact that he doesn't stop there. He appeals to her with this intrinsic statement. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. How could he say that? Because God has promised never to annihilate the Jews. Even though there are countries in our own day that live for the annihilation of the Jews and the Jewish people, they will not be annihilated. They are protected by God's divine providence. His sovereign hand rests over the Jewish people. The land of Israel is his land and their land. So you need to know, Esther, somehow, in some way, God will work. But you need to know that you and your relatives will die. And then he adds, who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. Magnificent, magnificent thought. Esther, listen to me. Think, Esther, think. Could it be that the way the Lord has protected you through your orphan years and growing up in our home and under my tutelage and my mentoring, could it be that you were prepared to have the kind of character it will take to step up in a time like this? This is your moment. This is your hour. You will never face a greater moment in your life, for it may be it's just such a time as this you were made queen. When we all celebrated the fact that you were chosen, and many of us even laughed to ourselves, that who would have ever thought this little Jewish young woman would be the one selected to be the queen in the land. And he reminds her with great theology that God has a plan. Reminds me, there's nothing like a huge dose of sound theology to put steel into our bones. That's why I often say to you, learn to think theologically. Regardless of what is happening to you, revert back to what you have learned from the scriptures about your God and about his power and purpose and his plan. And you will be given strength at the time you need it if you will rely on that teaching. You see what this will do to this woman as she thinks about it? You too, when you realize, before I'm through today, that place you could, that role you could play in some significant part of this busy world that has lost its way, you will realize that it may very well be that you were born for that purpose. Remember some time ago I mentioned there are two great days in everyone's life, the day of our birth and the day we discover why. Esther knows of her birth, knows all about it from what Mordecai has told her. Now she thinks, perhaps this is why. What a difference that can make. That's the reason Bonhoeffer could walk away to the gallows and never once fight those that were going to finish his life off that dark day, April 9, 1945. That explains how the reformers could be burnt at the stake and never once recant, knowing that they were dying because of what they believed. Killed by people who disagreed with them, they stood alone. They stood strong. How else could our Savior have died on our behalf and been willing to take the cup of suffering and death on our behalf? He realized that that was his purpose. He had come for such a time as that. Esther pondered Mordecai's message. Talk about in between the verses. Between verses 14 and 15, you find a queen very silent. She's thinking. She's turning over in her mind what this will require, just as everyone does who stands alone in a situation that includes great risk and sometimes even the threat of losing a job or losing stature in the eyes of others. She weighs all of this in her head. She ponders Mordecai's message. And she realizes what he says makes all the sense in the world. So she steps up. This is where she shows her true color. She weighed his words. She realized her calling. Look at the verses that follow. And may you never, ever forget them. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa. Fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. Notice, she's not doing it in her own strength. She said, I need you to pray for me. I need you to be there for me. I need you to fast. I need you to represent me before the throne of God. And then, though it is against the law, love the way that reads. There are times there is a higher law than the law of the land. There are times when it is appropriate to rebel. And this is one of those occasions. Though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. Here she shows herself a woman of enormous character and great courage, a true patriot, a heroic individual. She can't do everything. But she is willing to do the something she can do. And she refuses not to let that moment pass. And now she says, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. Your Bible may read, if I perish, I perish. If it's my life, it's my life. That, men and women, is standing alone. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Perhaps it's the same thing that happened at Chardon High School in Ohio, as a coach named Frank Hall began his cafeteria duty that morning. It was a sort of cold morning, February 27, 2012, as he was having fun with the kids and enjoying the high schoolers that he loved to coach and be around. All of a sudden, he heard two pops, pop, pop. In the distance, it sounded like firecrackers. Coach Hall thought, must be one of the kids. A little mischief going on down the hallway, and all of a sudden, there were several other pops and screams. The halls were filled with screams as students ducked into classrooms and under desks. And this crazed teenager puts in another clip and begins to shoot further, and he hits three boys in the head, killing them as they fall into a pool of blood. Before he's finished that morning, he shoots another one in the back, hits him in the spine. He's going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. Coach Hall realizes, I got to step up. And no one told him to. No one even appealed to him. Suddenly he found himself screaming, stop, stop, stop that. And the gunman looks at him, points his gun at him, and suddenly they're 12 feet, 10 feet, 8 feet apart. And Coach Hall states, when he looks into his eyes, he realized those eyes are dead already. No conscience. And he said, I realized my whole life hung on the twitching of a finger, which for some reason the boy chose not to pull the trigger, turned and ran. He ran out the end of the hallway and out the door and into the woods. As one of the authors said, he chased him like a bull elephant, making certain he'd get out of the hallway, yelling all the way, stop, stop, quit. The boy runs into the woods, hides for about 40, 45 minutes, and when the police find him, he's wearing a t-shirt that reads, "Killer." He came with plans to kill many of the students, and he only got three of them before that strong-hearted, bull-like man began to chase him. When the cops ask him, "Why did you do that?" as always is the answer, "I don't know. I don't know." "What made you run?" "Well," he said, "Coach Hall was coming after me like a bull elephant. He was chasing me." When you see a picture of him on the front page of Sports Illustrated, you do think of a bull. He's about 6'2", weighs 300 pounds, lineman when he played football. But none of that mattered to him. What mattered was the life of the students he loved and the need to step up and do what was right. If he must die, he will die. Because of Coach Frank Hall and his willingness to put his own life on the line, he saved the school from dozens of deaths. One man, no one told him to do it, but down in